This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician. Jimmy hit Austin. My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
That sort of came all too soon. I grabbed up my tickets and my bags that I packed. And the sun had pushed aside the moon. I went out the door with no time to get back. But I left with a heavy heart. Oh, I left with a heavy heart. 'Cause I'm sad without you, love. Oh, I'm sad without you, love. Without you, love, I'm sad without you.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here with you on the P2 Podcast from beautiful Trinidad World Recording Studios, my studio here in beautiful Fort Worth, Texas, where creativity is king, where you just ease your way into the studio, walk upon the Indian rugs, pull down one of, you know, my old guitars off the wall, look at a vinyl record, play one of Pete Coatney's drum kits, strewn about the grounds here. It's where it all happens. So glad you could join us this week, everybody. So much to talk about. So much news to break. We're going to get into a little viewer mail today. We are going to even take a suggestion from some viewer mail as we get into the vault. And later we'll be joined by our good friend, resident filmmaker, film auteur John Reynolds is going to come here. He has very sad news to report, as we have alluded to on this show in the very recent past. Our good friend, the didactic lord himself, Kurt South, is having a big change in his life, man. Oh, good grief. He's moving. He's moving away from his beloved Fort Worth. He's originally from Virginia. And his parents still live there. South is married. The lovely Kristen. He has two kids. He's got some opportunities there in Virginia. And I didn't believe it. You know what? This has been going on for years. We'll see what Reynolds thinks about all this. But it appears that Kurt South is going to be leaving. That means we're just going to have to get up the satellite phone. The, you know, what do they call that thing? The Vonage. They still have that? Internet phone? Whatever. Kurt South live via satellite in the future. That's what I'm talking about. Just make contact with the Dark Lord himself over there in the East. But man, sad. Changes afoot. Changes afoot. But you know what I've learned, folks? That's just the way it is. You think you've got some guy in your band or some club you're playing. How many times has Phil Pritchett, your own P2, gone into some venue he's played for years and said, "Hey, where's Joe, man? He runs the bar." Just, "Oh, he don't work here anymore. He was stealing from us." Just, "That, you, yeah, what?" You know, it always breaks your heart. Yeah, some guy you had a good rapport with. "Hey, where's the door guy, man? Where's Jim?" Just, "Oh, man, he quit." You know, just, what, you know. It's always a little bit heartbreaking. They never call and say goodbye, you know. Changes, as David Bowie would say. Ch-ch-changes, face the strain. Ch-ch-changes. That's the one constant, you know. That's the one constant in this business. Life, or any business. Change always abounding. Abounding, rather. Well, I got an email from a friend this last week, folks. Man, oh man, my healthcare, health insurance screed. Last week, ruffled some feathers, got some opinions going out there. But I like this one from our good friend, Becky Shields in Colorado. I know Becky and Todd, good friends of ours. We know him from the camp where I met my wife up there, the great Blue Mountain Ranch, Florissant, Colorado. Todd and Becky live near Denver. Todd is a farrier, the best farrier in all of Colorado, taking care of horses' feet. He's a horse guy. Todd was my horse counselor when I was in camp. So I knew Todd. He married Becky. Anyway, friends of the family. Yeah, she called to offer me a little bit of support, saying they were in the same boat on the health insurance deal. So I appreciate that. Thank you, Becky. Hope all is good up there in Colorado. We missed the cold weather or cool weather. We hope it's that nice for you up there. Because, Lord, oh God, what was it here yesterday? 107? Oh, my goodness gracious. 107 in Fort Worth early this week. Crikey! Well, the other thing Becky wanted to let me in on, and I'll have to pass this on to Kurt South if he ever shows his face in this podcast realm, Trinidad World Recording again. They went to a show. Who was it? Rodrigo and Gabriella? Is that what it was? Went to a show at Red Rocks. They trot out none other than our old friend Zach De La Rocha, the singer of Rage Against the Machine. Yeah, and Becky goes, man, he just got on stage and, you know, did his deal, just the 15-minute sermon about boycotting Arizona or just all kinds of stuff, you know. And she said, I mean, I just thought of you and Kurt talking about where that line gets drawn. She goes, you know, she said people started leaving. It was just over the top, you know. It was just one of those uncomfortable moments that she said she thought she'd share with us. So I appreciate that, Becky. I appreciate that very much. And thanks for the kind words on the health insurance. I know you and Todd are in the same boat, paying more for so much less all the time. Well, man, we also got an email from TD. Is it Trent Dawson? Trent, are you out there? Man, he very, who knows? His theory is that Bob Lefsetz, who we talk about on this show all the time, the great blogger, recently, I kind of set some wheels turning when I talked about Neil Finn, the lead singer for Crowded House and had a solo career. Neil Finn, New Zealand, Neil Finn. I thought how much of a big Neil Finn fan I was over the years and how Neil Finn solo acoustic at La Zona Rosa was the best show I'd ever seen.
And I've seen them all.
I'd seen them all, I'm telling you. Man, I got a lot of feedback from that. People go, man, Neil Finn he's just great, so great, so great. Well, Crowded House was doing some shows. They came to Dallas. I wasn't in town. I didn't get to go. But Trent Dawson emails asking me if I had anything to do with Bob Lefsetz's recent glowing review of Crowded House that he saw recently on their tour. They've got a new album out. I can't remember what it's called, but I heard a song from it. It's cool. But Lefsetz was just so glowing, man. And anyway, it offered a lot of the same things I said about the Neil Finn show. Just how funny Finn was. And just, I mean, he plays piano, he plays guitar, he plays acoustic. They do wild, sonically strange stuff. Then they just turn around and do some just Beatle-ish poppy acoustic guitar thing that just melts your heart. It's just freaking great. And Lefsetz just started off, just said, man, it's truly shocking how effing great they were. That's kind of how he started his review. So it was good to see that, man. Neil's brother, older brother Tim Finn, who was sometimes with Crowded House and sometimes not. Tim and Neil were in the band Split Ends years ago that I've probably mentioned. They had that one big hit, I Got You. I don't know why sometimes I get frightened. Kind of 80s, you know. So I had the big hit before forming Crowded House. But man, yeah, I don't know. I'd almost like to email Lefsetz myself and just say, man, what is it about Neil Finn's onstage persona and performance that's so riveting, man? Because he's not weird and he's not... he's very conversational. He's so easygoing with the crowd. He's just joking with people up front. And maybe that's it, man. He's just so, he's kind of just such a down-to-earth guy, but he's extremely funny. And one of the things Lefsetz made a point in talking about the show, he said, man, there was one magical moment where Finn, some roadie brought Finn a guitar, and the guy puts it on, Finn puts it on, and no sounds coming out. He's looking around. Oh, this has happened to me a million times on stage. It's always an awkward moment. You start feeling a little awkward in the room. You're kind of like, uh-oh. And as Lefsetz said, and it's so true, half the time the artist rips the guitar off and throws it back at the roadie like he's the victim of some kind of great injustice. Oh, God, get this out. Give me one. Oh, geez, you know, and you see him kind of storming around. That's usually how these things go down. He said, but not Finn. He said Finn just kind of sat there smiling while the guy was crawling around. He said, and Finn just kind of starts, you know, holds up the guitar to the mic, acoustic, just so you hear the guitar a little bit. He just starts vamping on a little ding, 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 a little vamping, a little tune. And then he starts just writing a song, just making up lyrics and melodies about the roadie and what he's trying to do. He goes, and now Jeff is crawling around on the stage, trying to figure out why my guitar's not working. He said the crowd's just dying laughing. And just a masterful performance, man. And I get a lot of flack because people come to me a lot with bands or tell me to go to a show, and I come away less than impressed so often. I always feel bad about it. I was like, it's okay. Dude, it's a great song. I'm like, it was good. It was okay. They go, man, but you didn't like it, Phil. Why? You don't. And man, that it kind of comes down to that, man. I'm like, he just wasn't great, you know, and that's no fault of his. Like, what do you mean, man? He was, you know, whatever, singing good. And everybody thinks it's about singing on key or looking professional or having a good light show or having walk-on music and all this crap. It's not about any of that stuff. If you go see Neil Finn, man, Bob Schneider's great at this. He's just a great performer. He comes in the room. He's fun. He's conversational. You don't feel like he's just working off a script. I think, was it last week or a couple weeks ago, I talked about how I get on stage, I just kind of Peyton Manning the room, you just read the defense and call the plays. You know, you just pull, you don't have a set list. You know, just something you're doing that everybody's supposed to stand there and watch. It's a participatory event, is how I think of it. So that's what I aspire to do on stage. I hope it shows. Goodness gracious, all my little stories and whatever, talking to Blue and Stu and having them sing songs. And we try to have fun. We do have fun. But it's the audience engaging in that and laughing at it and yelling out requests. That's what makes the whole thing go. But, man, really, you don't see just a whole lot of it, especially in the younger guys who just maybe haven't developed their comfort level with that kind of thing. Certainly when I was starting out, I wasn't super comfortable talking about – I didn't have any stories, you know. I don't know. I just would – play my songs. I was so concerned with being good and for, you know, and playing my guitar right and singing right. I didn't engage the audience as much as I do now. But we opened for Bob Schneider at the Granada Theater. God, it was sold out in Dallas a couple years ago. And, man, the way he just worked the crowd and just turned it into, you know, it's like Lefsetz says, man, turned it into that night at summer camp. That's how a great show should feel. It should feel like a night at summer camp. Anybody been to camp knows what I'm talking about. You're singing the songs. You're just around the campfire. You're there with everybody in the room. And that's how it's supposed to feel, man. And all too often I go to these gigs. Most of the time it's a young band, but sometimes I talk about my John Mellencamp experience, you know, just going there and acting like he just did not care one flying flip about anything. Walking out there, I've never seen a guy so bored in my life. Just walks off stage. And I was just like, dude, what was that? He just doesn't care. I don't know. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there telling me, but I saw him in Indiana, man, in 84. It was awesome. Whatever, I'm sure he has. But that night in Austin a few years back, no good. Oh, man, speaking of, did you see the new Mellencamp stuff? Did you see this new Mellencamp story out there? God, these guys just continue to embarrass themselves. Is it possible for these guys just to grow old gracefully? I think of Peter Gabriel. You know, he seems to be doing good. He doesn't embarrass himself. He's never let me down, I always say. You know, he's kind of prog rock, little out there, outside the country deal. But gosh, man, he hasn't gone Mel Gibson, you know? You know, Prince, we talked about Prince a few weeks ago, saying the internet is over. It's run its course. He was proud to say he's now taking down his website. It's done, he says. Oh, my gosh. Well, Mellencamp, he's got a new record out. And he says, the quote was, of course, you never know the context of what these guys were saying. But he said, the internet has ruined art, has ruined music. And the quote was, you know, it is dangerous. The internet's the most dangerous thing out there for the modern world. Certainly, you can come up with a couple of examples where that's the case. But, God, from a music business standpoint, The internet is over. The internet is dangerous. They're just embarrassing themselves, man. They're just walking around telling us to keep buying the horse and buggy, man. You know? These automobiles, man. Sure, everybody's buying them now, but I tell you what, man. A few years, everybody's going to go right back to just the horse and the cart, man. Horse and the cart. That's where it's at. And that's the kind of argument they're making. They're still buying stock in Smith Corona typewriters, you know. These computers, man, they're never going to catch on. I just bought me a new typewriter. That's all it is. Bless these guys' hearts. They've been so famous and rich for the last 30 years, and now none of that money's coming in, or at least not coming in like it used to, from people rebuying their catalogs in various forms. First vinyl, then tape, or then 8-track tape, cassette tapes, and then finally CDs. And now in the digital file world, it's all evaporated. And it's not fair and whatever, but stuff happens, man. What are you going to say? So old Mellencamp, man, he's out there. The internet is dangerous. Prince says the internet is over. Are they right? Oh, I can hear you laughing, fans. I can hear you laughing all the way to Nebraska. Joe, yes, I get your emails. Chuckling a little at your desk, are you? Well, folks, we are going to be joined here in just a couple of minutes by our very good friend, John Reynolds, across the hall. He's going to come in here. He's got his head down. I saw him in there mumbling to himself about Kurt South. If you go to any Kurt South show in Fort Worth, where South is seated on a stool playing his guitar, you know, grumbling Steve Earle songs, imploring the audience to leave so he can play his songs in peace. Not really. But Reynolds, certainly a big fan of Kurt South. He goes always over there at the hipster hangover party over at Fred's on Sundays. And so John is going to come in here, and he's feeling a little blue about Kurt leaving, as I am. Who else am I going to call and talk about how good or bad my gigs are? Who wants to hear about it? Who wants to hear about somebody's show doing good or tanking or whatever? I always called Kurt South. He always called me. Oh, man, we're going to have a little downtime, a little commiserating here in our next segment as Reynolds and I discuss Kurt South's moving to Virginia and the trouble we're having grappling with this new reality of not only the podcast but the Fort Worth music scene at large. Join us for that as John Reynolds will be coming in here next.
That morning sunshine moves me forth, and the taxi man is honking his horn in the street. Well, I walked out impatiently to the north.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. We are just thrilled you're all with us today, every week, as we always are, folks. Thanks for joining us here on the podcast. Coming to you from beautiful Trinidad World Recording Studios, my studio here in Fort Worth. Book Phil Pritchett of the full band, or come record at the studio, phil@philpritchett.com, or call me, 817-733-5256. Well, he has wandered across the hall, walked a full 9.5 feet, trekked down the carpeted hallway here at Trinidad World Recording, our in-house resident movie man, filmmaker, director, video conceptor. Is that a word?
It is today.
I just invented it. John Reynolds is here. Welcome, John. Thanks for coming across the hall here.
Thank you.
Of course, John directed our such fine Pritchett videos as High Tide in the Heartland and The Bullfighter Returns. And that, man, has done a bunch of stuff for so many other Texas bands and all kinds of stuff. What was the name of the guy you were just showing me?
Did one for a guy named Andy Meadows.
Andy Meadows, yeah, new singer here, country guy.
It was pretty cool because we had Daryl Dodd in the video.
Yeah, we've been talking a lot about Daryl Dodd. I mentioned, I think, on the cast last week, I ran into Daryl Dodd at the benefit we did for Ruben Martinez a couple weeks ago. But I hadn't seen Dodd in a while. He's a fascinating industry story, Daryl Dodd.
That's what I hear.
And a really good guy.
He seemed to be pretty cool. He had a good time on the video, and he makes a little cameo appearance at the very end of it.
That's cool. Yeah. Man, just a real sweetheart of a guy. Kind of has a zen like quality to him a little bit.
Okay. I didn't hang out with him that long.
No, but he's a good dude. Daryl Dodd, it was good to see him in the video.
Yeah.
Well, we can't put it off any further. Of course, I don't know if it's my place to break the news or whatever you want to call it.
You're hearing it here first.
Yeah. Well, no, I alluded to it on another podcast about our good friend and podcast zone. I don't know if the podcast can survive. I don't know if it can survive without Kurt South.
I kind of agree. Let's just turn it off right now.
I'm gonna have to struggle to keep it going.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the way I know is, I hope people, if people hear that and think, well, oh well, Kurt's gone, that's it. But if you feel fear striking in you that you might not hear the podcast anymore, maybe that's a good sign. Maybe that's some indication that I can continue in some capacity.
I think people care.
As we've been doing. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. And of course, we'll ring him up. But here's the story. Kurt South, longtime Fort Worth resident, married, kids, moving around. The vigilante of his neighborhood down there, wearing his robe, toting the jug of
and boots,
wine, the boots, the hunting hat, the shotgun. Right. Scaring off the mailman, just suspicious. The world is coming to an end. Well, he's taken that to a whole new level now because he is packing up his gear, packing up his house, selling his guitar, selling his furniture, and just moving to Virginia.
He's getting out of the business.
He's getting out of the business, or so he says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, man. Look, and let me just say this. I've invited Kurt South, as I do every week, to come on the podcast. When can you come by? I get the same text. I'm in the weeds, man. I'm in the weeds. He's always in the weeds. Mm-hmm. And if you've seen his house, that probably explains
what that means.
Right? Very apt. The yard is thick with growth, fruit trees. He's growing vegetables out there and stuff like that. So, man, what do you make of South? You're a fan, as I am, as so many people are. We go see him play locally. He's the guy you could always count on to show up and play a show somewhere, to come in here on the couch. He's taken off. I'm mortified. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to think about it. I saw him the other day, one of his last shows at Fred's.
Oh.
And I walked in the last two songs, and he's happy, singing like as great as he ever has sang. And he is just, asking people around to see if they want to buy his guitar.
No, he's not. No, he's not.
That's what it felt like.
A yard sale.
I don't know what's going on with this guy. There. But he says he's moving on.
He's moving on with his life. Well, he's got a couple kids now. Mm-hmm. And, man, this is...
It's not an easy life.
It's more often than not what happens, man. I mean, I've seen it. My little band's been through... like couple, Spinal Tap, you know.
Couple different lineups.
Yeah, a couple different lineups. Yeah. Well, two or three, four or five probably full-blown lineups. And then infinite, single, just some dude playing two or three gigs on bass or drums or something like that.
Yeah.
And more often than not, they join the band when they're 24 or something. They're single. They're hanging out, drinking and all that. And then they get to a point where I'm going to marry this girl. And they... get married and they have kids and then after a while, they're just like, dude, I don't know if I can go to Houston for
I think there's a little bit of that. Gig, I mean, I think there's a little bit of that. He's not 20 something, but I think it's a little bit of like he's just maybe done with the performing, done with the night after night of out there doing that.
Right.
I think he keeps telling me that he doesn't want to perform anymore. He's not a performer.
Yeah.
Well, he's one of the best performers I know.
Yeah.
You know? So how do you not want to perform anymore? I don't know. I've known him on and off for 8 years now, I guess.
Right.
And every 2 years he kind of has a different plan. He's got to go this way.
Well, that's
and that
the other
way.
Thing. He's been saying he's moving to Virginia for like 3 years.
I know.
Someday I'm gonna pack it up, P2. I'm gonna move up there on the James River. Mm. I'm gonna eat ham and I'm gonna grow vegetables, hunt right. deer, smoke my own meat, and raise my family in an environment that I find conducive, or something like that.
Yeah.
I was just kind of like, whatever. So this deal's been going on for a long time.
But now he's really doing it.
He is. He's really doing it. I wonder what the tipping point was, because I really didn't believe it till somebody told me he sold off his last stained futon in his house. They said, no, he sold off all his furniture.
Yeah.
I think Keaton told me that, Colin or somebody. He was like, no, man, he sold off the last. Or Stu told me,
yeah,
I think.
I know he's selling some the PAs and certain things. But then he's also selling like guitars and things that have nothing really to do with like I can't even play the guitar, and I have a guitar I will never sell. I'll have this guitar for the rest of my life just because it's my guitar.
Kurt South is not one prone to sentimental value.
I think so, yeah. It's like he's rejecting everything.
That's well, you know...
he's a nihilist.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, yeah.
That's what it is.
I don't know. We're speculating here, South. Come in and defend yourself. Come in and defend yourself.
Call in. If you we have one operator
that's right,
standing by
that's
right.
That's right. Now. But he, you know, my friend Wes Cunningham came on here from a friend of mine from high school. He had the deal with Warner Brothers. Oh, man, I went up and... recorded at Abbey Road. He recorded at not Abbey Road, but that other studio in London. You know, Nashville, Chicago, L.A. Just hanging out backstage with Beck and Dave Matthews, and he got this huge check and made these records. And when that all finally, the dust finally settled and all that, and he moved back to Waco, that's what he said too. He goes, man, I just got rid of all my gear, or I put the guitar under the bed. He goes, man, I couldn't look at it for 2 or 3 years. Mm. And I hope that's not what's happening to South. I hope he's not. I hope he's not discouraged. You know what I mean? I yeah. can't tell if he's just ready for a change or if he's just fed up with the whole thing.
Yeah. It looks like he's ready for a change, but I have a feeling that we're not going to hear the last of him. I mean, I think...
Man, that's what I... You know, I told you a second ago, I said, man, you know, when I moved to Nashville in 99, I went around and had this quote-unquote... Fair. I said, hey, man, I'm moving to Nashville. So, man, I went and played
big time.
Fitzwillies, and I went and played all my shows, and everybody yeah. came out, and it was so nice. I still got a banner that the whole crowd signed and mm-hmm. said, good luck, Phil, or whatever.
Right.
It was pretty neat.
Mind voyage.
Yeah, so I was gone, but I was gone for about a year, and then I was like, dude, what the hell else am I going to do? I mean,
right.
So who knows, man, whole South. But, man, it's you know, his old buddy Jordan McCoskey, great songwriter. He moved to Nashville,
yeah.
So he lives in Nashville now. And, gosh, the whole Fort Worth scene was just – when I moved back from Nashville, there was just Kurt South and Jordan McCoskey, the guys that were just playing at every time I was eating a hamburger somewhere, I was like, God, there's that guy again over there.
Right. If you go to
Steve Earle saw, he's just drunk, you know, and eating a free hamburger. That's the gig.
Yeah.
And I fell in with those guys, and it was –
The Rat Pack.
Yeah, we did the Rat Pack shows for a year, the three of us every Monday night at the White Elephant. And so, man, I don't know. I've been surprisingly tore up about all this whole thing, man.
There's a
so
picture.
Like, you're really leaving?
Yeah.
And at first I was like, oh, well, you know, so goes another one. But the more I think about it, I go, dude, me and South talk on the phone, I mean, every other day. And who else can I call and go, all right, how many paid at Woody's last night? Take a guess. Let me tell you this first. Cowboys game was in overtime, and it was raining. Go. Sounds like, okay. I'm going to say you had 38 there early. Probably had a push around 10 o'clock. I'll say whatever. We just have
And
these,
he's right.
And he's right, because he does it all. And it's just hilarious.
Yeah.
So we have just all these common places and people and experience and stuff. So, man, I'm messed up about where he's,
yeah.
you know, not having him around to just.
There's
you know.
A photo floating around on Facebook. A couple people have it, but it's Kurt and it's Jordan, and it's the night that they got their cowboy hats up on the wall at the White House.
Oh yeah.
And like I'm there, I'm
what
like
a
right,
ceremonious
I'm,
event.
I'm like right next to that, you know, and I just remember that, like that was really cool.
Yeah,
it was cool for not like, oh my God, it meant so much to them, but it was just, I mean, they put in the hours and the time in that room
That's
to make
right.
that happen.
That's right. Yeah.
And, you know, both those guys.
They're on to corporate America, you know.
Exactly. I had lunch with Jordan in Nashville a couple weeks ago.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
And he took me on the tour of the plant and showed me, you know, what he does.
Oh,
you
man.
Know? And,
yeah.
And it's just so funny. He's still got the long hair and he's still got the crazy look in his eye.
Yeah.
But he's different, man. I mean, he's a family man.
He's a family man. He's a businessman now.
That's right.
Well, man, it just the scene will not be the same. And some other guys, man, like McGee Payne was around,
exactly,
playing songs,
yeah.
And he's kind of out of the deal now. And it's just I don't know. It just makes me confused sometimes. I've done this for so long, and you get around other guys, and you have so much in common with them. But you know, stuff comes along. Guys go do other things, and I can't figure out if I've just never hit a big enough snag. Or if I have hit as big a snags as anybody, for whatever reason, I just sort of soldiered
right.
on, even when I should have quit, you know?
Right, exactly.
I can't, because yeah. I tell people all the time, like, when you ever think about quitting, I'm like, oh, man, I've tried to quit many times. You know, I went and started mm-hmm. teaching school or tried to write songs and got just a whole host of other things. You know, just really interviewed for some different jobs and things. But, man, it just – nothing came together. And man, I was one phone call away from some of these places. Like, I mean, if he calls me and offers me a job, I'm going to have to take it. I can't just go, oh no, I'm playing the aardvark. But those calls never, for whatever reason, they didn't come. And I don't know. I don't know why they didn't. I mean, I'd have been just as happy maybe going off to some exciting new jobs. I don't know. That's what I told myself.
Even what I do, you know, people that I went to school with and started off with 10 years ago, there's maybe one or two of us that are still in the business doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
And so I think about myself, you know, what has kept me here? I think it's a wife that with a great tolerance for me. I think it's what
it comes
down to.
That's totally my case.
Yeah.
And certainly Kurt's wife has been supportive.
Exactly.
To go as long as they have.
But I don't think we've heard the last of the guy.
Man, I don't think so.
I'm holding out.
Out. You know what? He's going to show up. Just, Bridget, we're having an all-star jam New Year's Eve at the Elephant.
That's right.
I've rented an apartment in the Stockyards, and he'll be back, you know. Exactly. I don't know. It's just been, you know, it's been 10 years of just Kurt South and McCoskey drama inside the Fort Worth music scene, at least in the whole songwriter deal.
Two of my favorite things about Fort Worth are those guys.
Yeah.
And
let's say it a lot.
You know, if I always talk to people about Fort Worth, what I love about Fort Worth, every night of the week I can go listen to live music.
Yeah.
And I'm fortunate to go listen to live music of usually people that are my friends and
that
I know. Uh-huh. And, you know, now Kurt's not there anymore. What am I going to do?
It is. And it's not like Austin or May, where there's just tons of guys.
Right.
You know, I mean, Ian Moore leaves Austin and lives in Seattle. And he still comes back and plays gigs and no one really notices because there's so much going on all the time. And, but Fort Worth it's just a smaller scene. I mean, those guys, as much as anybody, have carved out, even though they were never, selling out Billy Bob's or something. They played stuff. They're always,
they got their fans.
Benefit. And they had people that just they went to all their gigs and all their music. A lot of them musicians, like me and other guys in the band. And, you know, they'd recorded in this studio and just countless other whatever. And they didn't have day jobs. So someone like myself who was recording guys during the day and running my own booking, you know, those are the guys that were around. Those are the guys that would show up down at the Stockyard Studio at 3 p.m. Mm-hmm. Hey, have you eaten lunch yet? I'm like, it's 5:00. I'm starving, you know, we go down and
Star
eat some
cafe.
I mean, just that kind of stuff, you know?
Right.
So I'm going to get a beer. I'm just like, it's noon. What? You know, we can go down. So there was all that kind of stuff going on. It was just sort of it's just the end of an era, maybe, sadly. We'll get the reunion.
Oh, it could be.
The reunion tour.
I think that's right. That's what you should do is, fly Jordan back down and do a, Rat Pack reunion album.
Well, man, we talked about doing a Rat Pack album, the three of us.
It's at least 100.
Yeah. You know, but Kurt and McCoskey have a lot of history. And things between them, I think, got a little testy over the years. You know, as things do.
That's what makes it good, man.
They played a lot of the same venues. And, oh, man, sometimes I got in between them somewhere.
Right.
Like, he stole my gig, man, or he stole my bass player. I was like, oh, come on. You know, and I didn't know I didn't know what was going on, so... Oh, man, the great old politics of yore. Well, man, we cannot wish Kurt South better luck at his new life in Virginia. Podcast listeners, if you just sign off, if this is your last podcast, knowing that Kurt South is moving to Virginia, I you know what? No hard feelings here, my friend, from P2. None whatsoever. I totally understand. Where will we be without his didactic wisdom, without his... dim view of the world.
Right.
But, man, we will no doubt have him call in, Skyped in. That'll just be a big it'll be a big deal.
He'll phone it in.
South will be, you know, we finally got him.
A couple times a year he can make time for the P2
That's
podcast.
Right. Call in, see what's going on. Just like making radio contact with somebody on Mars or something.
Right.
We have made contact with Kurt South. He is being beamed in via satellite
from his cabin in the woods.
Yeah, that's right.
His beard to his ankles.
Just taking in the potato harvest and butchering a sow.
He's skinning a
no question
an animal on the wall.
Living his life. Living his life, man. Mm. Well, dude, you made that video with him recently.
I know.
I've had a lot of people comment on that. That came out really.
Yeah, the video was great, man. I mean, it looks really good. His performance is really good.
Yeah.
And
convincing. Yeah.
It's a good piece, you know, and, I'm glad to do it. I'm glad we did it before this change, you know, I think it did a lot of good for him too. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks saw it, you know, the first couple months, a couple thousand people already saw it. So like it actually did pretty well.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, there's no question. Yeah. Well, man, certainly, I guess the Kurt South. Of course, we did, at the end of last year, we did the, maybe I'll have to do a replay of the top 10 Kurt South moments from year one.
Yeah, those are funny. The album cover.
Because it took me, it took me forever to edit it together. I had to go back through all these podcasts, and I mean, I couldn't remember. When was the one where he just made the wisecrack about shut up and go back to work, the Michael Jackson funeral or something? So I had to listen through hours of podcasts and was just laughing at all this stuff. So I made that one edited show, the top 10 Kurt South moments of year one of the podcast. So maybe here, after he leaves officially in a couple weeks, we'll just rebroadcast for the sake of fans the greatest hits of Kurt South in honor of our good friend. Well, so look forward to that, folks. Well, coming up in our next segment, we're going to dig into the vault. I'm just going to blindfold myself, stagger over to the wall of vinyl records, and just reach, pull something out, and then I'm going to try to tell you all I know about this record, about why you should love it, why you should have it. What is it? I don't know. Stay tuned. Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast from beautiful Trinidad World Recording Studios. Ah, the creativity is in the air. It's palpable, my friends. Palpable as you walk through these hallowed halls in Fort Worth. Trinidad World Recording, you and the band, or just you by yourself, come record here. Email me, phil@philpritchett.com. We'll make you a deal, man. That you will remember, you will leave here with recording product you'll listen to the rest of your life. Some sort of sensational thing, I would never promise that. I just will promise fun and that I care about what you're doing in here. And you will look back on that recording the rest of your life like looking at an old photograph that was very well done. And smile as you think about your time at Trinidad. That's what we try to do here. Well, 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 welcome everybody. Trent Dawson emailed. He said, Phil, do you ever consider talking about the Bob Dylan bootleg series in the vault? Jeez. Where does he think I think about all day long? Thank you very much, Trent. I'm so glad I have someone else to put my Dylan obsession off on. I said, well, this guy wants to talk about it. What else I supposed to do? So what do? I go to the huge box set. I've got the Bob Dylan 1975 Rolling Thunder Review Tour. Four vinyl discs? Oh my god. Three or four. I haven't looked at it. It's over there. Man, vinyl box set in the shrink wrap. I mean, I bought it for like $100. It had posters in it. Had a fold-out, full-color pictures. On that famous tour, just to catch everybody up, man, early 60s, Bobby Dylan. Little Bobby playing his guitar in Greenwich Village. Gets signed, blowing in the wind. Peter, Paul, and Mary, early 60s. Makes a couple of great records, Dylan, new folky guy. Then he goes electric. He pisses everyone off, mid-60s. Then he has some sort of a motorcycle wreck after that. You don't hear from him much. He releases some cool but hard-to-digest albums like John Wesley Harding and New Morning and some stuff like that. While Woodstock is going on, late 60s, that whole deal's taken off. Dylan's still making records somewhere. People maybe not thinking about him a whole lot. Well, he comes back with the band, early 70s, makes Planet Waves with the band, his new friends. So they go on a tour of hockey arenas. By Dylan's own admission, it was just sort of a disconnect kind of tour, big money, a lot of craziness. He didn't like it a whole lot, but he went out and did it anyway. But then in 75, man, he's having some marital problems. He makes Blood on the Tracks. He makes Desire, which is kind of the record this tour is built around. And he assembles a band of old friends. He gets T-Bone Burnett, Fort Worth's own T-Bone Burnett, the great producer. This is one of his early gigs. T-Bone Burnett produced, any Counting Crows song, Mr. Jones, that was August and Everything After, T-Bone Burnett. The Wallflowers, any Wallflowers album, Me and Cinderella, put it all together. T-Bone Burnett. He did Alison Krauss and Robert Plant album. He did the new Jeff Bridges song. What's it called? Crazy Heart. Did that whole soundtrack. So T-Bone, man, this is his early days. He had Rob Stoner on bass. Oh, man. Joan Baez was on the tour. Roger McGuinn was on the tour. Dylan was kind of, he'd gotten a lot out of these people over the years. They'd recorded his songs. They'd been his friend and stuff. So he took them all out on the road. And the Rolling Thunder review, man, this is those creepy photos you see where Dylan, he's got his face painted white. He's got this pancake white, like clown makeup on, this big gray hat with a bunch of flowers in it. Very freaky, but man, it creeped me out for a long time. I was into the early psychedelic Dylan, the early folk stuff as well. I didn't pay much attention to this weird period in his life, but the more I listen to it, the older I get, man, this is just the best live stuff and the best shows he ever played. And there's an interesting book out there called On the Road with Bob Dylan, I think, by Ratso Sloman. Ratso Sloman, he was a Rolling Stone contributor that was on that tour. And he writes like a day-to-day journal of following the buses around, trying to interview Bob. It's hilarious. A little tedious at times, but pretty entertaining. Great stuff, man. Dylan, Rolling Thunder review. Man, the Desire album was, maybe it hadn't been released yet. I can't remember, but they were playing all those Desire songs. I think the new stuff he was playing at the time, Desire, which was new at the time, is some of the most vibrant stuff on any of this. You think you'd be listening to the old hits, but not so much. Man, listen to this, one of my favorite live tracks on here. Romance in Durango, just a gunfighter fantasy song. Dylan, the Rolling Thunder review, Romance in Durango.
This is called Romance in Durango. Remember Durango, Larry? Hot chili peppers in the blistering sun. Dust on my face and my face. Magdalena on the run. I think this time we shall escape. So my guitar to the beggar's son for a few crumbs and a place to hide. But I can get another one. Like castanets on stone. At night I dream of bells in the village steeple. And I see the bloody face of Ramon. Is it me that shot him down in the cantina? Was it my hand that held the gun? Come let us fly my Magdalena. Side of town. long, but the end is near. Already the fiesta has begun. In the streets, the face of God will appear. When the serpent eyes of obsidian. By me, don't say a word. Oh, can it be that I am a slave? Break my delay, I'll take my gun. Look up in the hills, that flash of a light. Aim well, my little one. We may not make it through the night.
There's just such a great speed and pace to his phrasing, man. It's just razor sharp, isn't it? I mean, he just, how does he remember all those lyrics? He's just in the zone on these shows, man. No laziness, no grumbling, just spewing vitriol in every direction. Dylan, beauty and vitriol at the same time. Well, Dylan always back then would do a acoustic set, much anticipated acoustic set, kind of in the middle of his show. Riveting, just gets the guitar. His voice is kind of hoarse, you know, from guy he was smoking and drinking and playing every night. It's All Over Now, Baby Blue. Oh, this one rips my guts out. Check it out.
You must leave now, take what you need, you think will last. But whatever you wish to keep, you better grab it fast. He understands you often with his gun, crying like a fire in the sun. Look out, what the saints are coming through. And it's all over now, baby blue. The highway is for gamblers, better use your sense. Take what you have gathered from coincidence. Empty-handed painter from your streets is drawing crazy patterns on your sheets. Sky too is falling over you, and it's all over now, baby blue. Seasick sailors, they're all rowing home. All your reindeer armies, they're all going home. That lover who has just walked out your door has taken all his blankets from the floor. Carpet too is moving under you, and it's all over now, baby blue.
leave your stepping stones behind. Something calls for you. Forget the dead you've left, they will not follow you. The vagabond who's rapping at your door is standing in the clothes that you once wore. Strike under the net, girl, start anew. And it's all over now, baby blue.
We should all aspire to so much as songwriters and performers. Well, folks, that is our show for this week. Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. God bless you all for listening this week. We love you for it. Hey, have you checked out the new Antarctica USA t-shirt? The Antarctica USA t-shirt is here. $15. P2merch.com. How does it get to your door? Let me tell you what. I physically, myself, go pick out a manila padded envelope here at Trinidad. I fold your shirt nicely, I sign the packing slip, say thank you very much, put the sticker on myself, and I mail it to you. Handwritten. You're like, oh, Phil, you probably got some service shipping it all over the world. Absolutely not. We're a cottage industry here. Anytime you order something off the website, that's how it gets done. So go check out. You got Earl, Nolan, and Willie on there. Antarctica USA t-shirt is here. Check it out. $15. Go grab it. Speaking of aspiring to greatness, if you just... No one wants to cry, you know, but sometimes we guys need to anyway. And when that moment comes and I'm driving down the road in the middle of the night at some gig, the band, maybe Stu and Blue are asleep in the back, and I just got that bittersweet feeling, you know, you're proud of what you're doing, but then you're also asking, why am I doing this? You got to play this song, not just this song, but this version of this song. This is the Dylan solo acoustic version, very famously done, Tangled Up in Blue. Oh, man, a candidate for my favorite Dylan song, as it is with a lot of Dylan fans. Something so just gut-wrenching about this track. And, man, his delivery on this tour and on this album is nothing short of mesmerizing. Enjoy that, Tangled Up in Blue, Bob Dylan, as we go out. We will see you next week, folks, on the podcast. Love you all, fans. Take care.
Early one morning the sun was shining, she was lying in bed, wondering if she'd changed it all, if her hair was still there. If folks they sit their lives together, sure was it gonna be rough. They never did like mama's homemade dress, papa's bank book wasn't big enough. And he was standing on the side of the road, rain falling on his shoes, heading out for the East Coast, Lord knows he paid some dues. Getting through, tangled up in blue. Was married when they first met, soon to be divorced. He helped her out of a jam, I guess, about to use a little too much force. And he drove that car as far as they could, abandoned it out west, splitting up on a dark set night, but the gray on it was best. And she turned around to look at him as he was walking away, saying over her shoulder, we'll meet again someday on the avenue, tangled up in blue. He had a job in Santa Fe, working in an old hotel.
but he never did like it all that much. And one day it just went to hell. So he drifted down to New Orleans, lucky not to be destroyed. Well, they got him a job on a fishing boat docked outside Delacroix. But all the while he was alone, the past was close behind. He's seen a lot of women, but she never escaped his mind. And he just grew kind of loving blue. She was working in a topless place, and I stopped in for a beer. I just kept looking at the side of her face, and the spotlight's so clear. And later on, when the girl teamed out, I was just about to do the same. She was standing there right beside my chair, said, "Don't tell me, let me guess your name." I muttered something underneath my breath. She studied the lines of my face. Must admit, felt a little uneasy when she bent down to tie the laces of my shoes. Tying your loving blue. I lived with them on Montague Street in a basement down the stairs. There was music in the cafes at night and revolution in the air. Well, he started into dealing with slaves and something inside of him died. She had to sell everything she owned and froze up inside. And when it all came crashing down, I became withdrawn. The only thing I knew how to do was keep on keeping on like a bird that flew. Tiger looking blue. So now I'm going on back again, I got to get to them somehow. All the faces we used to know, they're an illusion to me now. Some are mathematicians, some are truck drivers' wives. Don't know how it all got started, I don't know what they're doing with their lives. But me, I'm still on the road, heading for another joint. We always did feel the same, we just saw it from a different point of view. Tangled up in blue.